Let's move on now. You were talking about genomic assays and ER-positive, HER2-negative situations. Let's hear about your 56-year-old psychologist.
So she had a screening mammogram that showed a new abnormality in the left breast, and a core biopsy showed a grade 2 out of 3 invasive ductal carcinoma. It was ER-positive, PR-positive, and HER2-negative. She underwent an excisional biopsy that showed a 2.4-centimeter tumor. The interesting thing about this case is she had several sort of multifocal lesions, 4 millimeters and 3 millimeters. There was no marked or overt lymphovascular invasion. 3 sentinel lymph nodes were negative, and her Oncotype DX recurrence score was low at 16. So this was an instance where, you know, I think historically for a 2.4-centimeter cancer, people would have been tempted to think about chemotherapy, and it was a nice use of the recurrence score to help, I think, make a fairly straightforward decision that the benefits of chemo would be very small.
She was postmenopausal?
Well, probably post, but peri might have been the actual.
And I'm just kind of curious what kind of thoughts she was bringing into the situation. How did she feel about getting adjuvant chemo? How did you see her in terms of how she was going to look at the Oncotype?
So I put this case in here because this is a patient who actually wanted chemotherapy in the sense that she wanted everything done that could possibly improve her chances. And it was actually a not inconsiderable discussion because unless you could prove to her that chemo wasn't helpful, she would be very interested in chemotherapy. So in this case, we went through the classic data from the NSABP B20 study that used the recurrence score and showed that the low scores didn't get benefit. Then she read about the Taylor X trial. So we brought out the outcomes from the Taylor X trial, and she correctly pointed out that that was 0 to 11. So where's the data for 16? And I said, we don't have those data yet.
So she got into that level of detail.
Oh, yeah. She brings it out. Then we got to there's a West German Plan B study.
Right, right.
So in that experience, again, women who had really low scores, even if they had positive nodes, did very well. But she accurately pointed out that if the score was over 12, then they all got chemo in the West German Plan B study. So it's interesting because while many patients are chemo averse, this patient wasn't afraid of chemo. What she wanted was absolutely every intervention that might lower her recurrence risk.
So she was okay not getting chemo?
I think she's going to be okay. She's actually still discussing this.
So she hasn't made a final decision.
Well, you know, I've suggested that I don't really think she warrants chemotherapy. I think that the rare but potentially serious risks of chemo, so, you know, infection, heart damage, secondary leukemia, things that are really uncommon but probably add up to 1.5% of patients probably outweigh the realistic benefits here. But it's not a decision that has come easily for this particular patient. She's not one of those women who says, oh, thank God, I don't need chemotherapy. I never wanted to go near that stuff. She wants anything that could reduce her risk.
It'd be interesting if maybe she felt differently if the recurrence score was 10. What about if this lady comes back to you and say, you know, I read all this stuff. I really appreciate what you said. Would you mind giving me some chemo?
You know, I've done that in some patients over the years, and in this case, it wouldn't surprise me if we end up doing that. I try to avoid anthracycline-based chemotherapy in that setting because I do worry about the greater risk of leukemia and heart damage. Maybe she's someone who would get CMF. Maybe she'd get a TC-type regimen. I don't think it really adds here, but part of this is working with people to make sure they make decisions that they feel comfortable with, and a purist would say, well, there are no actual prospective data from randomized trials to say that this exactly gets zero benefit.
Well, the other thing is, a patient's so interested in doing everything she can, what can you do to optimize the hormonal therapy? I mean, you said she is postmenopausal, so she's going to get an AI?
Yeah, I would do an AI. And
what about the PALLAS trial? Maybe she'd like that.
So she might, except that we recently closed with, we've accrued over 1,100 to 1,200 patients, and the cohort of T2N0s has closed. So at this point, it's all node positive accrual. But yeah, I think she would be someone who would be very game if you had a novel trial of some more intensive treatment.
So just imagine the same patient, same woman, except she's got one positive node.
Well, you know, the quality of the data are actually pretty similar from Kathy Albane's SWOG 8814 trial. And while the risk goes up because the nodes are involved, the actual benefit for chemotherapy would still be, I think, pretty negligible. Having said that, if you take this sort of to the extremes, like what if they had 12 positive nodes, you know, then we'll come to a case that's not dissimilar from that. At some point you say, you know, there's enough risk here that I don't think chemo's a bad idea. And what if we're a little bit wrong? You know, if we're a little bit wrong with a small tumor, it doesn't make any difference. If you're a little bit wrong with a very risky tumor, then it makes more difference.
But, you know, I've heard you make the point over the years many, many times about using assays like this when it's really going to change people's minds. So you really have to take into consideration their attitude. Sounds to me like if she had one or two positive nodes, even though you might be okay with a recurrence score, and particularly if it was even lower than 16, it might not even be worth sending because she would never be comfortable with it.
Well, I think that there was an old surgical literature that if you didn't take out a few appendices, what's the plural of an appendix?
I think appendices.
Appendices. If you didn't do a few appendectomies that proved to be healthy in the appendix, you weren't doing enough appendectomies because, you know, there were clinical indications you needed to do the surgery, and that was part of the clinical judgment and the surgical judgment. I think with better imaging and CAT scans and refined diagnostics, that number has gone way down. But once in a while, you'll still do an appendectomy and the appendix is healthy. And what you'd like to do is avoid all that, but there will be situations where you simply can't.